two Sunday nights that I was with you, we were dealing with the subject of the believer's armor that God has provided for us in the life of faith. And the shield of faith is part of the believer's armor. And there are great lessons on how to use the armor that God has provided for us. We looked at the first war of Scripture, Genesis chapter 14 and chapter 15, and we found that Abraham was victorious by faith. He had victory over people. He had victory over things, and he had victory over feelings. And the victory over feelings came in chapter 15. Tonight, we're going to look at a more difficult subject. And it's difficult for me, and I'm convinced it's difficult for others, because it was difficult for Abraham. His name is still Abram in chapter 16. It's changed to Abraham in chapter 17. But God is teaching Abraham in chapter 16 the importance of waiting on him. That's the most difficult thing to do. I've always been active, and I've always been quite healthy. Oh, I had little things come up in my life, but we got over them in a hurry. But when I turned 70 years old and things started to come up, I didn't get rid of them in a hurry. And probably the most difficult part of it all is having to wait and to do it by faith. You see, it's one thing to war by faith, because we're doing something, and we are doers. We like to be active. But to wait and to do it by faith is something else. And when we come to this subject of waiting upon the Lord, it's so important. For God says, wait, I say, on the Lord. And we have the promise that they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let us wait on the Lord. And I'm preaching to myself. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In the Bible, waiting is not a passive thing. Waiting is an active thing. Waiting is active endurance. That's what it is. They that wait upon the Lord. Let me give you an illustration. In the 16th chapter of Acts, Paul had returned from his first missionary journey. In Acts chapter 14, then you have the Jerusalem conference in Acts chapter 15. When you get to Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul wanted to go into Asia. And the scripture says, God said no. Then he wanted to go into Bithynia. And the scripture says the Spirit suffered him not. What did Paul do? He was waiting at Troas. What do you know about Troas anyway? Well, I'd like to mention two things about Troas. Number one, at Troas, there was an assembly. When did it begin? For Paul came there one time, and it is recorded in the 5th verse of chapter 20, the disciples were gathered together to break bread. Where? At Troas. When did the assembly at Troas begin? When Paul had to wait on the Lord as to where he should go. Remember, it's Acts 16, that the man from Macedonia comes to Paul. And Paul gets that Macedonian vision, and he goes to Europe. But the time comes that Paul comes back to Asia. You see, in God's time. And when he writes concerning Asia, he says, all they that be in Asia have heard the word of the gospel. That's so important. But the second thing about Troas, you remember there was a man who sat on an upper story, and Paul preached long. Paul was a good preacher. He took a lot of time in preaching. He preached till after midnight. I one of those people that some think that I believe in apostolic succession. But anyway, I'm not going to do it. Paul preached till after midnight. Remember Eutychus? He fell down. And Paul raised him to life. That was a miracle. A great miracle at Troas. A great work was done there. When? When Paul had to wait upon the Lord. Now let's read Genesis chapter 16. Let us begin at verse 1. I already have my eye on the clock because it's moving too rapidly. Where we read in Genesis 16 verse 1, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. O God, our Father, we thank you for the scriptures that tell us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we thank you, our God, that if you order the steps of your people, you also order their stops. And we thank you for these times of waiting upon thee. Teach us the importance of waiting upon thee and having our strength renewed in order that we may go from strength to strength. Hear us in these things and use the word tonight to give us a fresh glimpse of him who always did all things well, even thy beloved Son. We give you thanks in his worthy name. Amen. In order to learn how to wait by faith, if we're going to have patient faith, there are basic truths that we need to learn about faith. We need to learn some basic truths. Number one, we must know what real faith is. What is Bible faith? You know, faith is one of those words that's bandied around by many. It may mean this and that or something else. I have faith in my doctor. I have faith in this, we hear continuously. But what is Bible faith? What is the faith that the Bible speaks about? Then second, and I don't believe I'll be able to get that far unless I want to be in apostolic succession, but the second thing we need to look at here is we must know how important patience is. And we must know what impatience costs us. What does it cost us when we're impatient? What did it cost Abraham? Did it cost him something? We find him impatient in this chapter. And then the third lesson is this. We must, as the Lord teaches us, to draw upon the resources that God has made available for us. So we come to the subject of what is real Bible faith. When we speak of the faith of God's elect in the Word of God, and when we think of a living faith, now it's hard to separate believing faith or the faith that saves from living faith, because Colossians chapter 2, I think it's about verse 10, says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So living faith and believing faith are very closely linked. We cannot build our faith upon feeling. You see, there's so much counterfeit faith that is going around today. And it is so important. Some people build their faith on feelings. Now, I don't want to be overcritical in this area. You see, it's so easy to be overcritical. But I've heard things like this. God has given me a conviction that this person is not going to die, but God's going to raise them up. And then they pass away. What do you say next? You see, we can build ourselves up till we make ourselves believe this is the will of the Lord, when we have no foundation at all for what we say. There are people who work up their faith, and it doesn't quite work. Then there are people who build their faith on circumstances. You see, feelings are treacherous things. Abram exercised one of his greatest steps of faith at a time when he was afraid. Chapter 15, where you looked at it last time. He was afraid after these things. The Lord appeared unto Abram, saying, fear not, I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. And then God spoke to Abram concerning the blessing that he's going to give Abram and his seed. And that verse that appears three times in the New Testament, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But circumstances. You know, there are people who think, well, everything's falling into place. It must be right. It must be the will of God. I want to tell you something. I'm not overly intelligent, And I don't profess to be above anyone else in the Word of God. But I'm scared when everything falls into place. I'm scared, and I'll tell you why. I have an enemy. And the enemy is Satan, and he's continuously trying to trick me up. To trip me up. Remember Moses. The Lord appeared to Moses at the burning bush. But when Moses was coming back to Egypt with his wife and his son, the Lord was going to kill him in the inn. Everything was falling into place. But God was going to kill Abram, or Moses, because he failed to obey the stipulations of the Abrahamic covenant on circumcision. And God was delivering the children of Israel on the basis of the covenant that God made with Abram in Genesis chapter 15. Covenants are most important. Vows are important to God. Now remember Acts chapter 27. In Acts chapter 27, Paul's on his way to Rome. He's a prisoner. And they put him on board a ship. And they're at a place called the Fair Havens. And Paul says, we shouldn't take this voyage. But the captain and owner of the ship said, oh, I think it's all right to take this voyage. Let's go. And then the scripture says, and when a south wind blew softly, supposing that they had everything right, everything was falling into place, they set sail. And they bobbed like a cork on the Mediterranean Sea for 2 weeks. They lost the ship, but they didn't lose any lives because there was a man of God on that ship, a fellow who said we shouldn't make the voyage. And he's the one who was a means of the salvation of everyone on the ship. But you know what they did, you remember? They didn't take the advice of Paul. They did what most people do today. They took a vote. And Paul was outvoted. And of course they went. You see, they did what most people do today. And they lost everything except their lives. How many people are doing today what the wind is doing? They're pushed by the winds that are blowing. God has given us faith. Now, what are the tests of faith? How can we know we have biblical faith? How can we know this? Well, there are four tests. There are four tests. They're found in the book of Romans. And we're going to look at those four tests for a moment tonight. And these four tests of faith are important. For Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So the first test is in Romans chapter 4, verse 20. And it is very simple. Am I doing this for the glory of God? Am I doing this for the glory of God? Or for my own glory? For my own pleasure? Or is it for God's glory? That's the first test of faith. Abraham being strong in faith and giving glory to God. The first test of faith, whose glory is involved? My glory for God's glory. And that's a great test. You know, when my glory is involved and somebody crosses me the wrong way, I usually pout. And I pamper that old Adamic nature that should be crucified. But oh, we pamper it. And then we preach. I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And all the while we pamper the flesh. For whose glory is it? Biblical faith rests upon the glory of God. It must be for God's glory. Second test. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. Whosoever believeth on him shall not make haste. Or the text says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But that's a quotation from Isaiah chapter 28, where it says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be in a hurry, shall not make haste. The Holy Spirit in Romans 10, verse 11, he interpreted Isaiah 28 for us. That's verse 16 of Isaiah 28. In other words, the second test is this. Am I willing to wait? Will tomorrow do just as well as today? Can I wait upon the Lord? Every time I get in a hurry, I end up being ashamed. Why? It's so important. In the 32nd Psalm, the psalmist David prayed, be not as a horse or as a mule, which must be held in by bit and bridle. In other words, what's the difference between a horse and a mule? The horse rushes in, and a mule holds back. He's stubborn. And God says, don't be like either one of them. And there are times when I'm rushing in, and there are times when I'm stubborn, and I'm holding back. And God says, don't be doing either one. The test of faith is it for God's glory? Am I willing to wait? If I'm willing to wait, when I find my energy level is very impulsive, all worked up, I, as a believer, must say, stop, for you're about to do something real dumb. When God tells you to do something, don't wait. If you have the word of God for it, don't wait to obey the scriptures. But when you don't know the will of God in something, and God cautions you, wait upon the Lord. Now the third test of biblical faith is Romans 10:17. Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do I have the authority of the word of God to take this step? Do I have in the word of God some promise, some assurance from his word that he is speaking to me? God has given us his word as a word of faith. The word of God is a word of faith. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of faith, and the spirit of faith puts the word of faith into our minds that we may know on which to stand. Do I have a word of faith? This is so important. This is one of the reasons I like to read biographies. How the great saints were led of God. How God used his word to direct them. And his word to them was a word of faith. And I learned by reading the biographies how God could lead me by his word. The last test is Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And the question is, do I have joy and peace? Does this give me joy and peace when I'm making a step of faith based upon the Word of God and not impulsive, to the glory of God? There is within me joy and peace, even though the world around me may not agree. Within me is joy and peace. Now, let us just take a few moments and take a look at Genesis 16 and see how Abram does with these four tests of faith. Okay. Did Abram do this to the glory of God? Take Hagar as his wife. Did he do it according or for the glory of God? No, he did it to please his wife. Now, it's possible to do both. Don't get the idea that, and I would have avoided a few problems had I listened to my wife instead of being stubborn, instead of being like a mule. Abram listened to his wife. In this case, it wasn't for the glory of God. He didn't say, not to the glory of God, I'm going to take another wife. You don't read that in Genesis 16. Not to the glory of God, I'm going to get God out of this dilemma that he's made for himself. He's promised me a child. And you know, he's in a dilemma, and I certainly have to get him out of it. I'm going to do it this way. You see? Is it for the glory of God? Abram failed in that test. Test number two. Was Abram willing to wait? No. That's the problem. He wasn't willing to wait. No son had come yet. You know what faith is? Faith is living without scheming. Faith is living without scheming. So we find that the first two tests, Abram failed. How about the third one? Was this decision in Abram's life based on the Word of God? No, it isn't based on the Word of God. Did you ever notice that when God speaks to Abram, it usually is not a word of the Lord came unto Abram or unto Abraham saying? You don't have that in Genesis 16. What do you have? Well, look at verse 2. And Sarai said unto Abram, ooh. And then looking a little further down at verse 2, about the middle of the verse, it says, it may be. Do you notice that? There's a big difference between the word of God and the word of Sarah. It may be. In Genesis 15, God says, no of a surety. When God speaks, it's no of a surety. When Sarai spoke, it may be. Are we scheming? Are we living by faith? Well, you see, when man moves on his own, there isn't certainty. There's uncertainty. Well, let's see if he passes test number 4. Did it bring joy and peace into Abram's home? Oh, it blessed their home, didn't it? You see, we laugh, but we do the same thing Abram did. And we wonder why there's no joy and peace. You see, Abram and his descendants have been devastated by this decision that Abram made to this very day. And then when we get over to chapter 17, and I don't have time to go into it, but I'm going to say it quick, if there is such a thing. Abram prays a prayer, and he says, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." And God says, "I've heard your prayer. He's going to." See, how to wait by faith instead of joy and peace in Abram's household. There came a rift that hasn't been healed to this day. Family problems are caused by steps of unbelief. Church problems are caused by impatient steps of unbelief. True faith means that I am doing what I'm doing for the glory of God, based upon the Word of God, willing to wait on the timing of God, and filled with the joy and peace of the Spirit of God. That's faith. When you have that kind of an experience, you can step out with confidence, as the Apostle Paul in Romans 4, that first verse said, that Abram did, being strong in faith, and giving glory to God. Romans 4 isn't speaking of the birth of Ishmael. It's speaking of the birth of Isaac, which Abram had to wait for. It pays to wait. It pays to wait upon the Lord. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. By the grace of God, the next time we get together, we want to look at the subject of patience and the high cost of impatience when we can't wait upon God. We'll turn to the book of James for that. But nevertheless, we're going to have to stop tonight because it'll take too long to go further. Let's just thank the Lord and ask for patience. Oh God, our Father, as we bind our holy presence, we thank you that there is a life of faith and we can walk in it and we can know thy blessing of it. Help us, our God, to live for your glory, to boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O God, to wait. Give us patience. Help us to realize that thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Help us, O Lord, we pray, to study your word in order that we may know the word of faith. And may the God of peace, bless us all with joy and peace in believing, that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.